واخرج الحق وغرق الباطل ان الباطل كان خطيئا. وينزل من القران ما هو شفاء ورحمه للمؤمنين ولا يزيد الظالمين الا خطأ. صدق الله صدق الله العظيم. The German and Berlin, the subject that has been suggested to me by Brother Ivan, I think he forgot to mention the subject. The subject for the evening talk is Hinduism and Islam. Chronologically, in order of age, Islam is the youngest of the world religion, and Hinduism and Zoroastrianism, they both vie for being the oldest religions in the world. From Islam, if you go backwards, beginning in Islam 42 years ago, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought this deen of Islam to its perfection at the guidance of God. But 600 years beyond Islam, we find the religion of Christianity. And 600 years before that, Buddhism. And 2000 years before that, Hinduism. So Hinduism claims to be the order of the world religion. Look at the word Hinduism. It comes from the Indus River. The river passing through Pakistan, in undivided India, in the northwest, the Indus River. And people have certain characteristics in speech. But sometimes, where there is no edge, they add an edge. Where there is edge, people eat it up. You know, describing the situation in the city hall, I was mentioning to our people. I said, you see, there is a group of people among us. That they pick up X in Hamdilo, Hamdilo, they say Hamdilo, and they drop it off in Ivery, they say Ivery. So, same thing happens to this Indus. In the river, people say Tundus. Indus, they are where they put a Indus, Hindu. People living around the Indus Valley, Hindu. The land, Hindu. So, this is how this name has been given, Hinduism. The Islam, or the culture, or the setup, or the belief of the people of the Indus Valley, Hindu. Now, if I may teach you, in one word, the difference between Islam and Hinduism, one word, you see, the Hindu in this theology, he says, everything is God. Everything is God. The Muslim, what does he say? That everything is God. The difference is only that of an effort of the head. Hindu says everything is Him. Islam says everything is His. Everything belongs to Allah. The other guy says everything is His. So, and this is the effort of the head. You know, what is the tremendous difference to take into a concept of God? That if you say everything is this, everything is this, then therefore the Hindu, according to that concept, he doesn't hesitate in worshiping the cow, the monkey, the elephant, the plane, man, woman, tree, sea, mountain, everything, everything. Because the reason is that it, God created everything by His word. Everything, how did He create? We also believe that Allah created by His will, but He come out of the earth. This is to Him, Allah is the primal origin of the heavens and the earth. وَإِذَا قَدَىٰ أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونُ. That whenever He decides a matter, He manifests His key energy. It's the word of command. Actually, if His will, He decided as the world. So everything is created by His world. Allah tells us in the Holy Quran that if the ocean will make into end,
and all the trees remain in the same, the word of our Lord shall not be exalted. So many creations, everything by His word, in other words, by His will, He brought everything into being. So now, because it is the word of God that brought things into being, the Hindu says the word of God is God. His word is God. He says the word of God is not God, it is His word. As I am speaking to you, my words are not me. Me and my words are different. Similarly, the Muslim believes the word of Allah and them are different things. They are His word, but they are not Him. The Hindu says His word is Him. This is. Then he starts worshiping anything else. As such, He is a transcendent. See, we are thinking wrongly of the Hindu, thinking that He is a policy. Policy is to believe in more than one God. He doesn't. So He can't explain. Then he says, Rama is God, the Krishna is God, the Buddha is God, the Hanuman is God. You ask him, how many gods are there? He's confused. But really, he doesn't believe in many gods. He says, everything is God, because God is in everything. So, he pretends to God, what is God in this form, that form, and that form, and in this form. But he says, God is one. He says, God is one. So, he is a pantheist, one who believes that everything is God, not a polytheist, believing in this many gods. Now, when we talk about Hinduism, immediately in our mind, these terms, they come to mind, incarnation. Incarnation. Reincarnation. Karma. Idolatry. Hinduism, associated with all these terminology. Incarnation. The system in which people believe that God Almighty comes down to earth as a man. He becomes human being. God Almighty, He comes down to earth. Born of woman, He becomes a man. Incarnation, meaning God taking human form. Reincarnation, meaning when you die, not end, but you come back to life again on this earth. And you die again, and you can come back to life again onto this earth. Again and again until you reach perfection. It can be a million rebirths, you can be born a million times over. Until you reach Nirvana, peace and absorption with God, then you can do the universe with God, you become one with God, you become God. That's the reincarnation, being born again and again into the world, in human form. Karma is the philosophy of beginning, a law of cause and effect. That every cause has an effect. If we get thrown into the fire, we get burned. Cause, effect. If we eat too much, we have a stomach ache. Cause, effect. But now, the Hindu believes that that effect takes place here on this earth. We believe that there is a cause and effect, but it will be on a higher plane. We will have to account for our deeds. That is Islam. We believe that every cause has an effect. Whatever you do, you are going to be recompensed, good or bad. As you sow, so you will reap. Whatever you sow, you will get the fruit of it, good or bad. But that does not necessarily take place on this earth, that you don't have to come back here on this earth to give an account. And idolatry, meaning they believe the worshipping God through the means of different statues, idols. Now, it is not possible, you will see this of this talk, to give you like a critical analysis of all these thoughts, going deep. Because until everyone becomes a subject. Actually, Buddhism is such a vast thing that it calls for a series of thoughts, not just one thought. It gives you in one brief nutshell, and it is a Hindu thought. But for the purpose of this session tonight, we will be forced to give you a broad outline of the things that I have just mentioned. And in passing, you'll be able to see them all, inshallah. Now, as we are gathered here, from what I can see, we are all Indian Muslims. I don't know if there is an Arab among you. Is there? Any Arab here? No. Huh? No. Any Malay? No. As I see as a whole that we are gathered here, it looks like we are all of
Indian extraction. Now, one of the easiest ways of trying to approach the Hindu, to talk to him, to reason with him, is to confess at the outset that our people, you know, our forefathers were Hindu. I know when I was young, I was getting shocked. You know, when the Hindu point of thing, I said, people were are Hindu. He's trying to say that you were also Hindu. Maybe he didn't know how to say that you are Hindu. Only when you said you are Hindu, you are from India. The king is the word for India. India. The India. Hind. You are from Hind. So they're thinking that everybody from Hind is a Hindu. Whereas everyone from Hind is a Hindi. We are all Hindi. In English is the Indian. We are Hindi, but we are not Hindu. Hindi and Hindu are different things. The guy is getting confused because now, we are from Jin, we are Hindi, we are Hindu. And our forefathers were Hindu. And we have been Hindu for 5,000 years. If somebody wishes to claim that it was some Arab blood in them, you can claim. Somebody says it was some Persian blood in them, you can claim. Somebody says it was some Turkish blood in us, you can claim. But coming from India, our ancestors were all Hindu. Now, once you confess that, you see, it makes it easier for the Hindu to listen to you. You see, I'm asking our people, my people, what happened? How is it that this guy is talking differently? So now you start quoting the Tattva. And I didn't really think I could do it. Now, I didn't go. That's about 30 kilometers outside the area. And Berlin is today India. According to our government regulations, the majority of people are Indian, so they made an Indian culture. Coming from Berlin, Ottawa, Indian, Mountain, Indian. And as I come from Berlin, going to Berlin, I find some Indian people standing by the roadside, so I give them this, something that is out of beyond my control. Then I like people telling me, to don't give this to anybody. Because they have been reading about things, you know what happens to people being listened, they get back and the car gets stolen and they don't find the husband anymore. But somehow I feel that the Indian is standing on the roadside. He is not waiting to bat you on the head. Right now, I'm talking to you. You have to say this again and again, he batted the Dominican. The most dangerous guy in South Africa is a white man. Not Indian. Not the color, not the other. If you want to catch your head, you'll come and look for you. You'll find it, and you'll be his job. But you won't stand on the road waiting for a lift to do that. So, I'm compelled, in some type of compulsion, inner compulsion, feeling that I just want to go on, but I can't help it. I stop the car, I will get in there. Now, once a fellow gets in the car, I must talk to him, I want to make him change for the lift. Not to money, but you know, we must be a form of work. So immediately I said, what church do you belong to? And if you ask that question, it's an innocent question. Nobody gets offended by such a question. What church do you belong to? So I would declare any church is Indian, or you might say, I'm a Hindu. Now, if you say that he is a Christian, he is a type of a pastor. Sometimes I do a white guy, and I know he's a Christian. But what church you belong to, he gives me a name. I said, you know, what you'll be the Christian? He said, you know that there are three types of Hindus in South Africa? The guy got a shock. There are three types of Hindus in South Africa. He doesn't know. He means all the Hindus are the same. He can see our complexion. I know there are various shades of grey. But overall, you know, there is a dialogue of all that is Indian, no, my mom is back and one is also back and one is back at this. But Indian. So, it's not a three type of Indian. To him, there's only one type of Indian. As much as to our fathers, there is only one type of white man, European. See, when I was young, we said European, because European was a nation, and South African government also put it that way. European, non-European. That's how they classified it. you know what time it is, in the rain, it's everywhere. European, no European. So Europeans, we are thinking it's a nation. But you know better now, that European is not a nation. They are not being twice and black. But European is not a nation. Europe is a continent. And on that continent, there are many nations. Like the Greeks, the French, the Germans, the Italians, the Swedes, the English, the Irish, the Scots. These are different nations. But because we don't know the difference, all white people is one nation. Similarly, with all brown people are one nation. So when we tell them that there are three types of Indians in South Africa, they get the shock of the life. I said, you know, racially, they are dozens of different types. Racially. And the proof of that is, this is Gujarati Muslim, if I'm not thinking, there is a Muslim, there is a Kotri, there is a Nyabar, there is a Hyderabad, with a Kotri. You know, the people from Hyderabad, when I met them in America, in the place of Yapa, Hyderabad. And Hyderabad, you know, in Central India, Hyderabad, the Nawab of Hyderabad, Nizam of Hyderabad, yes, they were the highest cultured people. One of the most educated people in India are the Hyderabadis. But here in South Africa, because the term was being used disparagingly for our Urdu speaking brothers. So now it seems like an insult to say Hyderabadis. But the Hyderabadis in America, I met them, they're feeling better. Yeah, Hyderabad. Yeah, Hyderabad. Hyderabad. What do you think? You know, like you did, from Gujarat, from Bombay, from here, from Hyderabad. To whom you're interested in. So we are dozens of different nations here. But religiously, there are three main groups: the Indian Hindu, the Indian Christian, and the Indian Muslim. Religious, three main groups. Racially, dozens of different types. Among the Hindus, dozens of different types. Among the Muslims, dozens of different types. Race. So these three main groups, we said there are three main, three different types of religion. Indian Hindu, Indian Christian, Indian Muslim. And now, what is the main difference between the three? Actually, the guy is thinking that you are educating him. But this is how you brainwash people. You know, you program people, you make them feel accept. You know, story talk. You said, the guy, and you get that little story as if you're educating the guy. It says, you know, there's an Indian Hindu, Indian Christian, Indian Muslim. What is the main difference between them? He doesn't know. Because you see, the Indian Hindu, in his philosophy of religion, he believes in God incarnate, in God coming down to earth as a man. That's the main philosophy. And in the system of incarnation, God taking human form. They believe that Rama was the seventh incarnation of God. Krishna was the eighth incarnation of God. Buddha was the ninth incarnation of God. And they believe in endless incarnation. See the Hindu reason. And his logic is very good. His logic is very good. He's a very logical person. Here's that credit. He says that God Almighty is so pure, is so holy, is absolute holiness. He is Al Qudus, the Holy One. This is one of the attributes in the Quran. He is Al Qudus, the Holy One. So the Hindu also says he is absolute holiness. He is like a holy robe. Now that holy robe, that's how he thinks. What does he know? How can he? Then, let's say he sees a beautiful young girl. What does he know how the man feels? Does he feel the way man feels? Probably not. Then come up right now, he's going to lay down. What does he know? Let somebody jokingly remark about the Pope. Pope. See, the Pope made this pronouncement on the faith, universal faith. So somebody remarked that the guy who doesn't say the same, what right has he to lay down the rules? Has he played against this day? The Pope? No. And what right has he to tell us? You know, for that season, you know, for that season, what the reason was about for that season. Similarly, the Hindu reason, is that look, does God play against this day? Probably not. And what right has he to tell us? Doctor, not for the time he is a wife. What does he know? He's to forget. So to be qualified, he should come down to earth as a man. He's born like any other human child. And as he grows up, somebody still to his mother in the absence of his father. And you know how he's great, how he feels. As he's growing up, somebody still to his sister. Now you know how he feels. Now he's married, somebody was a stupid wife. Now you know how he feels. So he's qualified. Now he's qualified to tell you, I'm not committed adultery. You know what adultery is. I'm not committed a neighbor's wife. Now you know what he has to forbear. He's qualified. Now that is the Hindu idea for justification for incarnation. God is a new man. The question is that before Jesus, God is not incarnate. After Jesus, he will not incarnate. He will not get human form. He is the only incarnation. The only time that God came down to earth as a man, he came in the form of Jesus Christ. But as a Muslim says, the Muslim says God does not incarnate at all. He doesn't become human at all. What does he do? He chooses a man from among men, one of us, flesh and blood in all respect. And that person is so finely attuned, is so tuned to God, that whatever God Almighty commands him on a higher spiritual level, that is our revelation, the electromagnetic wave of the spiritual world. That person hears those signals, those messages, and he conveys them to us on a human level, soundly. I shall not commit adultery, I shall not covet thy neighbor's wife, I shall not steal, I shall not kill. On a human level, you can understand what he's talking about. Such a person, you say, is a prophet of God. He's a mouthpiece of God. He's speaking the words of God, but he's not God. So the Hindu believes in many incarnations, the Christian believes in one incarnation, the Muslim believes in many incarnations. Now this is in a nutshell. The reason that how can the Almighty, how can the ocean be contained in the water? The Almighty! You don't have to see it like you just. No, this is the Muslim concept. God has not become a man, and it is not necessary for God to become a man to understand the problem of man, because his logic is true. It's logical, but it's not true. If it is true, then God has not just become a monkey to understand the problem of a monkey, you must become a donkey to understand the problem of a donkey, you must become a popper to understand the problem of a popper. What kind of a God is this? He says, no. The Creator knows what he has made. If you make a table, you know what a table is. You don't have to become a table to understand a table. If you make a tree to fall for him, okay. You don't have to become a tree to fall for him to understand a fall. The Maker knows what he has made. God made us, he knows. And as such, he is qualified and he is authoritative. He has the authority to dictate to you, to tell you how this machine ought to behave. He has a right to give you instruction. He doesn't have to become a man to understand the problem of God. Now, about 100 years ago, you know, when we came to this country, the average Indian was 80% Hindu, 20% Muslim, and 1% Christian. So, when I had these Hindus getting in the car, I presented to them and said, you know, when you said our forefathers 100 years ago, this was our average ratio of our people. But today, you know what? The Muslim is still 20% of the Indian population. In other words, if you lost half a dozen, you might have gained a dozen. Overall, the average remained the same. But the Christians have jumped from 1 to 17% in the Indian community. 1 to 17. So I'm asking where the other 15% come from? In a blind quarter. From other states? No. Maybe it's speaking from the Hindu. So the question arises, why is it that the Hindu is getting from Joseph and the Muslim is not getting from Joseph? Ah, not in total. And we can also know our sons and daughters if we are. See? But if it's not half a dozen, we might have gained a dozen. So overall, the energy has still remained the same. But the Hindu has been reduced by 16% in the past 50 years, not 100 years. Because most of this propagation was among the Indians has been done by the Christians in the past 50 years. He lost 16% of the people. And at this rate, in 1,000 years, the Hindu will be a Muslim people. If you come across a person, you know your grandchildren. If you want, can you belong to the Hindu song? This is what you want. Because the way that they are moving, it will be like something to be renewed to go to Hindu. So, the question is, how is it that the Hindu is getting okay and the Muslim is not? And you know, we are not saying, you know, the man that he could have lost his son and daughter. The young man on the show is father of one, or he met a Christian woman and somehow he isn't very obedient. It can happen. Or sometimes people can be doing what? Or mixed marriages, you marry non-Muslim women, for the marriage of a new, you promoted the woman, and she was neither here nor there, she was neither fish nor fowl, and the marriage broke up, and your Muhammad and your Fatima and your Khadija fall back again with the mother to the church. It happens again and again. You're losing thousands of things. These men, you know, outside, Islam. You may have come in, you do things. Right, and the marriage doesn't work out. Look, among ourselves, there are times when marriages don't work out. And there are more chances of the marriage going to be the woman on the other side. Culturally, her standards for everything is different. She's used to dying and, you know, going around with a good guy, and that guy, half a dozen guys, she has experience, and now you think, you know, you've got everybody's tooth bone, now you put it around your neck, make a garland out of it, and the garland doesn't work. So, where do you two go? That's okay. She goes back to her auntie, her granny, and your little one, she's going to church, you also go to church. So we have this group together. Okay. But as a people as a whole, we are immune to temptation as a whole. So what makes it that the Hindu is getting converted and the Muslim not? Some of you might have that idea. To say, well, you know, other people are very ignorant about their religion. I said, look, like that, you also have ignorance. Who's on that? Okay. So they don't know how to read the Quran, they don't know how to make salah. They don't know anything, they don't know about the Quran. They don't know about the Muslim ball, carrying a Muslim flag, and when the guy is there, he's on a Muslim flag, they have to know nothing about Islam. It's there, from experience, I need to be sure. So we also have ignorance even among us, as much as you have. But I said, look, I might explain to you the reason, I may be wrong, but if I'm wrong, I would like you to correct me. I said, you see, the Hindu is a very tolerant person. In a whole. Not now in India. The most intolerant. But the Hindu in his own family life is very tolerant. See, in a Hindu family, if one of the pirates says, I believe in Kanish, the elephant that is called. The other guy says, I want to Siva, no problem. Other guy said, I want to Hanuman, no problem. Other guy said, I want to Sita, no problem. One says, I believe in one God, no problem. Other guy says, I believe in no God, no problem. Other guy says, I believe in a million God, no problem. No problem. There's no fight. The Hindu will not fight as long as you say he's a Hindu. You say you're a Hindu, you can believe what you like. The only time trouble would start is when he says, now I'm a Christian. Then you get a reaction. Now I'm a Muslim, there's a reaction. But if you say you're a Hindu, and if you believe Muhammad is not the prophet, no problem. If Jesus is not the God, no problem. As long as you read in the label. So he's very tolerant as far as that is concerned. And in his system, he believes many worship man God, human God, animal God, anything, everything. So once he is used to worshiping one type of man God, it is not difficult for him to change from one man God to another. He is already used to worshiping man God. And his man God, you know, to see them, his man God, there is an example here, this is Siva, is blue. See, is blue. So this Hanuman is blue, with Rama in the background. Blue. This Krishna, blue token here, but it's blue in the religious picture. So what is it? See, Rama is blue, Krishna is blue, And blue is an ugly color on the body of man.
Oh, brother, just to see that it
on. Nothing wrong with it.
Your white blue dress, nothing wrong with it.
You wear the blue linen blouse,
nothing wrong with it.
Blue shirt,
nothing wrong with it.
But on the body of man, when a man goes blue, you have to go off it.
Not a toxic creator.
In Kenya. Then why should they give such an unnatural color to the Lord?
I said, you see, blue, this word blue is beautiful.
Yes.
It has so many meanings.
Blue.
Because of the blue sky, the blue sea.
Come.
Blue sky, blue
sea. Then you find a guy talking catalog about the news. And the police road talk.
And they stop him and they get blue things in the sky.
So blue means
blue.
Blue means blue color.
Now blue is full, the future.
Then they think about the blue planet in this man. You know what it means?
You kill them.
So blue now stands for purity. Blue means full, now blue means purity. Then when I'm giving the time, I need to put the hand in my pocket, so I got in that hand. And it goes blue in the face. You know what it means?
Then boom.
I think they will be in the face. Or a guy meets a problem to the left, he meets you again. And my companion asks that guy, you know, that person there, you know, this is that. Did you take a car, guys like that, and then you get them onto the blue moon? Really, once in a while. So blue makes you put into conflicting meaning. You need first, you need three, you need four, you need once in a while, blue moon, you will cut. Anything, everything. So now that a blue box, from picture of blue board, now they present to you a blonde board.
Right.
Blonde hair, blue eyes, and some people. Like an Englishman or a German, not his type. Not with a funny nose, you know, the crooked nose, you know, like a Jew. No. You know, if you see a sister like that, of Jesus Christ, everybody will say Shylock. Shylock. So they give him a straight nose. Think that an Englishman or a Swede or a Norwegian or a Dane, not like a Jew. And we are all suffering from an inferior, we come from.
Paul,
there's a Muslim on India. No, we are coming from India. But white men have been ruling for 150 years. A handful of them, they have not held us there. They have enslaved us for 150 years. And yet in this country, a handful of whites, 4 million of us, we're 20 million black at the moment, and we can do nothing about it. You have to be 20 million black and can do nothing. Well under control. We are all white men. So this white man comes along into your house, he takes a little brother or sister on his lap, or your brother or your son, and taps him on the head. How do you feel?
This is a big man called him, that man called him. This is a brother coming to his house.
And he's all. And then the guy kills him. You want to go to hell. You know, the easy way out for you. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you say otherwise, all your good deeds are a filthy rag, you're all going to go to hell. So, the poor guy is getting converted. But an amazing thing is this, that the good you do is like, we say, you are a man very sad. It's Allah's cause. It's for all. Like one of the people in the world, but you said, like normally, if it's a straight camera of the devil, whereof you find it, he said, this king is also willing to be taken. But the Muslim is not telling, is not talking, he doesn't want the fellow.
That's it.
We are atheists, I'm telling you. The Muslim, the Indian Muslim, is no better than the caste we do, the racist we do. We are looking down upon that, we are the guy, you know, we are very bad about what is doing about in India. The caste we do is great, it's fine. You know, we are, you know, so explained to India that this amount of rights that they take, every two rights that they have to India, give to people. And we can't even try. You know that? We have 150 million Muslims in India, but we can't even try one city. That's how demoralized we have become. The thing is, Muslims really is not interested in conversion. The only time we want to convert our Madrasi president, our Tamil Telugu president, our Hindu Chinese country. You know when? You know, that is a running away.
Already ran away. Then you resisted. Then you carry with baby. Now she wants your blessing to get married.
That's the only time you are interested in converting the car. Otherwise, you are actually pushing them out. Because as a young man, I still remember, you know, the elders talking, some of Madrasi brother comes along, you know, and I can see this is, you know, getting settled in Islam. And I have been listening to our elders talking, telling them, if you don't be cut you,
Maybe you don't use those terms anymore. But the mentality.
And as a death, as a result of the punishment Allah gives
us. Our fathers are running over the whole thing with me. Whole thing. And whole thing is a mild term.
I love to see a guy coming along to me now. And telling me, you know, this is good, they will tell you. My people will tell you. It happens in a public embarrassment. It happens in an everything garage. Or now it happens in that world. It happens in finish.
But my people, you know, we are. The Sijarat is we are Akhojis. You are Akhojis? To your daughter. You are Kroyas? To your daughter.
What are you?
You are Nabas? To your daughter. You are Kamiyas? To your daughter. There is even a guy who can say that, look, my community is not immune from this. But that we are not getting seen. Anybody, who are you? What are you?
And my daughter is not your daughter.
You are not killing me. It's not my daughter. Look, you are not killing me. It doesn't hurt you. What kind of pigs are you there? You are not kidding for my guy?
But unfortunately, the very sad thing to say that the Muslim is not interested in wanting to convert.
People talk about, you know, doing our work. Yeah, let me carry on. But the community is not interested.
They are interested in you.
One Muslim is interested in you. They want to convert to convert. You want me to be the deal. Well, you
get a nice beer, that is.
Why don't you be
intelligent?
That other brother I saw has got a nice beer there, but he shaved his mustache. But you know, how about that? Can you tell the doctor what he said?
That he must trim the mustache, not shave the
mustache. Salami or no salami?
Salami or no
salami? You must lift up our hands and go up or pray like that.
You live in a state, you are loudly in silence.
Then
we are
giving, you know, back to each other. And the slightest little problem, the slightest difference, or still one another.
But the ocean in which we are, the giving of God, our daughters are running over the whole city, and now the Christians are also making inroads. Nobody talks about it. As if the problem doesn't exist. But it's worth to think about it, to talk about it. But you know, I tell you, Allah, the guy is so receptive. You know, we are doing things to him. And, you know, by the time I reach Durban, to see the guy's uncle, I never heard anything in my life before. I said, you know, this year, I said, you know, look, man, we were one people. And the truth. I said, you see, I'm a Hijazi Muslim. I speak Islam. My forefathers were one man. Many of them.
He said, you're proud of the fact that Allah Ta'ala has made our forefathers to see the light and they have been freed from all the mire in the world.
So, I said, I'm going to ask you, look, my forefathers, you see the Kanna and you, one nation. You look alike. You speak the same language, same Samus, same language. You eat the same food, Pata and Pata, like the Kanna.
And we have the same story.
Look, you still Pata, you still Pata,
Muslim Patel, Banyapatel. Muslim Gentai, Banyagentai. Muslim Gula, Banyagula. Bawang Gula, Muslim. And Gula and Khan, Hindu. Paras, Muslim Paras, Hindu Paras. So every surname that you find among the Hindus, you find among the Muslims. What does it mean? It means that one time it is also all Hindu. Why should you be ashamed of that? The idea that Allah Ta'ala showed you that our ancestors are the courage of the condition to change.
And how did it happen? Another story.
Sometimes it's another story.
As you know, I come from the west coast of India. Above Bombay, there is a small port called Sula. There is a Tapti river running through the town. And sailing boats come to Sula, and they go, as they were coming away for hundreds of years. Had a trader, they brought their ship to barter for our Muslim cloth, our turmeric, our tamarind. And when prayer time came, one of them gave their class. They asked the Muslim cloth to prayer. You would have heard it sometimes. The guy starts talking in the river time. Allah. It is fine. Muhammad is only Muslim. He's not God. He's not the Son of God. Don't take a mistake like the others have done. They made the prophet unto God. They made the beautiful to God. Would you do that? I can say hey as you want. And alhamdulillah, that no people come. Nobody says Muhammad is God. No. That is allowed. He's God. No. Or is the Son of God. No. Five times they hear you. Then to the few begin with these two fundamentals, that there is one God and Muhammad is his messenger. Then what is the message? He continues to not this, the one who gives the Adhan the call. In the answer to all that thing, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and Allah is still the greatest, Allah is still the greatest. Whether you come or you do not come, you are not going to lower him with exaltation, in his majesty and his glory, he's still going to be supreme. And the final word, the one who is saying, La ilaha illallah, that there is no other occasion to keep up Allah. In other words, you can keep on worshipping your man God, your woman God, your money God, but remember this, that the only one who is supposed to be worshipped with you. This is the natural end of the Muslim day of the day. But now, on the river side, in fear, my interest is to her, somebody waiting in the wilderness. What did it sound like? Meow, meow, meow. That's what it sounds like. If you don't know what the words are, what is that sound? Oh, no! He's lengthening the sound so the voice may travel. But to the non-believer, a non-Muslim who hasn't heard the word, what is his name? Mankind. Nothing's gone wrong. So I said, now my ancestors are doing this today. Somebody's in trouble. And when they came there, you know, if these people were 100, one guy takes the lead and 99 fall. If there were half a dozen, one guy takes the lead and 5 fall. So they're there. And up and down, looking this way, looking that way, lifting up the hand. When they finish the prayer, thanking the Almighty for His many mercies and praying to Allah, to Yabari Tala, make us successful in our business, and then when we are successful, when we return home, we will find our family safe and sound. This is what the whole thing is about. And when they finish, they find the customers are with you. So my Hindu ancestors, you know the Ganga, we are ready. Something little excellent is nothing that you know that you can work out. Very, very easy, you know, how to make problems. The other guys don't know so well. So, my Ganga and sisters, you know, they're arguing with each other. They're really. They're up and down, looking this way, looking that way. It's a new, young thing. It's a new, too. See, my interest is couldn't be learn anything because of the nature. If you are a teacher, I'll show you some God of my interest. You can't see. Not that you. See, you know, Jesus is the Son. You know what the Son is doing for us. You know, Jesus is the cow. You know what the cow is doing for us. You know, Jesus is the key. You know what the key is doing for us. Not like you. You know, God, you can't see, you can't see, you can't touch. So the other thing is with my answer. Look, the Son is one. Okay? See, without the Son, no life. If there's no Son, there's no life. But tell me now, did the Son make the grass? He said, no. Did the Son make the chicken? He said, no. Did the Son make you? He said, no. If it is you, somebody made the Son. And you made it. And the Son is doing his job, following the law and the order. So inside you, that it's working that you can, you know, not be manifestation as well. Then we can predict and keep for the Son 1,000 years from now. Every eclipse of the Son you can. You can look it up. The mind. And to the minute, to the second, and we can say that.